Physical therapists are known for being generous of heart, but our industry is saying that we need to make sure that we know what we're doing by following an evidence-based care for the patient. Well, our next guest does both, and I hope you will stay with us for the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, I'm back, and I teased you in the opening just a little bit with having a very compassionate heart. Well, Mori Hayashida is with me. He's a physical therapist, owner of Hayashida and Associates in Santa Barbara, California. 10 years he's been in practice. First of all, I want to welcome you, Mori, to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we are thrilled to have you because you have that generous heart in physical therapy. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But also, you're an advocate of course, everybody is, an advocate of evidence-based physical therapy. But it seems to me that you're doing something about it, and that's certainly what caught our eye here at PT Talker. You have opened up the Research Institute of Human Movement, which is a nonprofit organization. Tell us a little bit about what you plan on doing with this nonprofit.
Yeah, I'm excited. RIME, as we kind of refer to it as, really kind of has three legs to it. The research component, which is the main aspect of it, has the intent to produce original research and publish it, particularly in the field of movement science and movement diagnosis by physical therapists, especially. The second leg is service. So we want to apply the information that we already have and that we hope to generate to treat local community members who don't have access to care, typically, especially in the rehab or physical therapy settings. And then the third leg is the education, which really binds in the process. We're hoping to connect local clinicians with local university, college professors, undergraduates, and postgraduates, physical therapy residents or fellows as well, to the research process.
Yeah, so good for you. So let me do what first caught my eye. You know, it's obvious that you probably have lots of questions that you can answer in the world of physical therapy to do research. But the leg of the stool, service, that's something that's fairly unique, I would have to say. I don't run into a whole lot of situations where I'm talking to someone like yourself who is willing to treat patients that might not have access to care. Tell us a little bit about that, and how are you going to fund this, and how are you going to make this all work?
Yeah. My group, the therapists in my group, and I have talked for many years about, the frustrations of care running out for patients who already have insurance, and then certainly the inability to access and provide care easily for those who don't have an insurance or can't afford it in any other way. So, you know, volunteer time goes so far, and we've done that, but there's only so much we can all give on a volunteer basis. So the Research Institute of Human Movement, we're hoping to partner with donors and foundations who will support financially the time for therapists to engage free clinics or low-cost clinics, most likely, in our local community. So that's the basic framework.
Yeah, that's great. And what's the response been like? How are your peers reacting to your ideas and your concepts?
Well, in the group, it's exciting, and not just the therapists in my group, but other physical therapists in the area. You know, I think that's a large part of why we got in the profession to begin with, is to help those who need it. The community at large, and as I'm just beginning conversations with potential donors, seem very excited. They're not always familiar with the statistics or the needs of those who need access to physical therapy and don't get it. Mm-hmm. But once we share that with them, it seems like a very clear understanding of the need.
Right. So, okay, well, now this RIME has actually been in the works since late last year when you started working on the documents, 501c3, that kind of thing.
Right.
But you're just getting started. What are some of the immediate things you're going to try and do now at the Research Institute of Human Movement?
Yeah, well, we just received our tax-exempt status about a month ago, so we can really kind of hit the roads, the fundraising trail right now. But we had started work well before that, RIME has. I teach research and motor behavior at Westmont College, which is a undergraduate college here in Santa Barbara. And so out of the research class, we have carried forward two studies and started to create manuscripts for publication that involved undergraduate kinesiology majors, as well as physical therapists from my group to collect the data.
Okay.
And so those are things we've started into at this point. To this point, we do, to move further, need further funding, though.
Right. So you do need the funding, but are there some specific areas of physical therapy that you want to tackle as far as providing some research?
Manual therapy, how manual therapy affects movement, mm-hmm. At an arthrokinematic level, as well as functional outcome scoring. I think that would be the genesis of our group as orthopedic manual therapists. It's what we do. I think that's our interest. And how does manipulative or manual techniques directly or indirectly facilitate outcome measures and movement that can be measured through video analysis or other objective ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of assumptions I think we make as to what happens, but we'd like to try to put that on paper.
Yeah. So what was the motivation? Why did you decide that this is, I mean, everybody's busy. You've got three practices there in the Santa Barbara area. I'm sure that is does not leave a whole lot of spare time, plus you're teaching. What was the real impetus? Why did you decide to dedicate a portion of your time and resources to this project?
You know, I guess it's a good question. My wife asks me that a lot because I'm up late, but I think for a lot of us, if you feel strongly about something and you think there could be a better way or something to facilitate something you're already doing. I feel like the nonprofit sector can work closer with for-profit centers or businesses, and I think everyone can benefit with some mutual efforts. So that's really what drove it, was identifying a need, both on the research and then the service side of it, and then being on a college university teaching, seeing the resources that universities have and their interest to collaborate with clinicians or the community in a different way. Just the nonprofit idea came about as a way to try to fuse or merge all of those into one.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the immediate needs that, funding obviously, mm-hmm. But are there other things that listeners might be able to do to help you out?
I think just spreading the word, of what we do. You know, we're happy to collaborate with other universities or researchers. You know, it could be just an independent therapist who's thought of a great research idea but just wasn't sure how they could go about either funding it or taking the time to do data collection.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a large institution or nonprofit who is doing research but maybe wants to add or collaborate a component of movement, human movement, into it. We're talking with a local nonprofit organization that studies autism and provides resources to children's parents who have autism, and they've not looked at the movement relationship and how these children with autism are moving slightly differently and their motor development is a little different, so we're discussing ways we can collaborate with them. So that would be an example.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So are you excited to get started? And what are some of the, how are you spending your time right now as far as working on the project?
I'm about 50% with patient care still, and 50% or so with Rhyme. I am looking at how that distribution of time will evolve now that you know, there's a lot of opportunities with Rhyme, and so it may need to fade out. So on the patient care side for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I never want to leave that completely.
Right, right. Okay, now if someone wanted to learn more about Rhyme, is there a website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can go to rihmsb.org. So
okay.
rihmsb.org.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Mori Hayashida has been our guest today on PT Talker, and he owns Hayashida & Associates in Santa Barbara, California, but most likely will be forever known for his ability to start up from scratch Research Institute of Human Movement. Mori, thanks for joining us today on PT Talker.
Thank you, Jeff, very much.
All right, so everyone out there, we just want to remind you that it is always free to subscribe to PT Talker at www.pttalker.com. Little box up in the right-hand corner, put in your email, and we'll notify you every time we have a new expert on the line like Mori today. And so they certainly want to remind you to inform your peers about PT Talker. We believe it's a great resource. Want to thank our sponsor, Advantage Medical, for helping us out. Bring this to you each and every week. We're also available on iTunes. So this is Jeff Worrell. I hope that you have found something good buried in here. I know I have, listening to Mori and his story, something that will help you help someone get well today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.